This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me today is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a new place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share, or if you just want to chat with us. Again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. So if you haven't eaten lunch yet, you can come on down, have lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. I'd also love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol, and you can watch my adventures. And I had quite the adventure this weekend. We were out and about all over the place, and I have it well documented on Food for Thought. So,
wow. Well, we are anxious to hear about your adventures. And first, we want to definitely thank our sponsors for making Food for Thought possible. Express Jewelry Center at 44 North Main Street in Concord. Precision Repair and Sales, Integrity Health Coaching Solutions in Bedford and Londonderry, your coaching solutions company, Belmont Hall and Restaurant at 718 Grove Street in Manchester, top quality foods made fresh for over 50 years, Red Arrow Diners, Manchester, Milford, and now open with drive-thru in Londonderry, Celeste Oliva at 75 South Main Street in Concord, your source for the freshest premium extra virgin olive oils and balsamic vinegars, as well as pasta and honey. And New England Coffee, the official coffee of Food for Thought, newenglandcoffee.com. So, hello, Carol. You were just like had a whirlwind of a weekend, didn't you?
We did. We didn't stop. It was great. You know, it was a beautiful weekend,
too. It was.
I mean, it was so gorgeous. Nice.
Yes.
And we did the Tilton Winter Farmers Market.
Beautiful.
Which I highly suggest you have to go. It is, and there's only like I think 3 more weeks left.
Wow. And people should go out and they will be surprised by what they're going to find there, right? Because typically you think of a farmers market, you're going to go and see peppers and cucumbers and tomatoes, and that's it.
There is no
It's not
way.
A small little cart of vegetables.
This is 2 floors. It like you kind of go up like a level and down a level. And I mean, it's huge. You walk in and she has a police officer in the middle of the road manning the traffic because it's so busy.
So popular. Wow.
And there's music. They had a live, you know, guy singing. And it was great. It was really, really fun. I mean, they had things from vegan ice cream to meat kebabs we started at the Tilton Diner, and when we walked in, Daryl says, "We shouldn't have eaten first. We should have
been
here to eat."
Yes.
So, and you know, because Rocco's in the other room, when I was at the Tilton Diner, I had my egg white veggie omelet.
Nice.
And it was very good. So yes, but we'll talk about that with Rocco.
Okay. Fantastic. So that sounds like, you saw a lot at the farmer's market. There's a ton of not only fresh produce, but all these, I was going to say compilations, but products that you're probably not normally thinking of, from wines to salsas to
Coffin Cellars was there.
That's beautiful.
And you know, they had this man. Remember, mm-hmm. Doug Salsa told us about this.
Yeah.
The man right next to him, he actually was sick. So he wasn't there on Saturday, so I didn't get to see him either. But they had this man next to him with this huge bowl, and he made a guacamole to order.
Oh, right there, fresh.
Unbelievable. I mean, squeezing
I
the limes
guacamole.
In, and
oh,
we bought some.
You did?
Yes,
yeah.
We bought
nice
some.
Fresh.
Oh, and it was amazing. I mean, they had that. They had honey. Mm-hmm. The honey was so good.
Now, were you even more appreciative of the honey since we had talked with Amy, the beekeeper, on Friday?
And I asked that beekeeper if he knew this beekeeper, but, you know, beekeepers must be, because he didn't know her. Which I would think that they would know her, but there must be so many beekeepers. He didn't even know who she was.
I think that is the case, and based on 2 things. One, in my search for, okay, let's find some beekeepers, there are regions
yes.
of beekeeping clubs and organizations
all over
New Hampshire alone.
Yes, all over
and
the state.
Then, as she said, you're late to even get bees because the beekeeping folks have already purchased
them
up. So that would tend to make me think it's a much bigger deal than we
think.
It
is. And you know, it was funny because when I went to that table and I saw the honey, I normally wouldn't, you know, I was thinking of it as bees.
Right.
I mean, I normally will,
right.
I kind of usually will even probably go past that table, but mm-hmm. I was like intrigued by
yes.
the table and I'm like, oh my gosh. And he had different flavors.
He did.
Wildflower.
Oh.
He had blueberry flavor.
Oh, nice.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
I thought sure I was really going to like the blueberry. So I tasted a little bit of the blueberry and I was like, it was good.
Okay.
And I loved the wildflower.
The wildflower was your favorite.
So good. And I bought
really?
Some. And then I bought some honey, some beeswax candles. They
okay.
were beautiful.
Really?
They were so pretty.
Oh, nice. Mm-hmm. Nice. So, yeah, I mean, it's things that you wouldn't think of. You're not going to think of beeswax candles when typically you're going to the farmer's market.
Right. And that you should have seen this mushroom guy that was there.
Mm.
Mushrooms. 10 different kinds of mushrooms. Ugh. You should have seen the mushrooms. Like, you've never seen them before. They had this one. It's called the bearded mushroom.
Yeah.
Big like this.
Oh.
It looked like... I mean, they kind of look like a brain almost. Like,
really?
You know,
okay. Like, so like
but
really just...
even, and when we ate that night,
yeah,
they had it in one of the dishes.
Oh my goodness.
I mean,
how perfect.
It was unbelievable. And
wow.
So we got to taste it and, you know, it was like, oh my gosh, there's the bearded mushroom is on the menu
that you
tonight.
Just learned about earlier today.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really cute.
It was a big mushroom weekend. We bought a bunch of mushrooms and Mark made his mushroom ragu that goes with the meat that you're having and it had sherry in it and a little bit of cream and onions and it was just amazing.
Yum.
Just that mushroom part. And then Rachel came
home
for
to Boston?
Yes, we
How
did.
Was that?
That was fun. We spent the day in Boston, the evening in Boston, went out to dinner and she was just, you know, we were at Copley. And so of course
nice.
The kids were like, you
That's
know, what
fun.
Is this? You can spend hours and hours there. So we had a great time with that. But because she's home just for a week and then we're shipping her back to Iowa, it's kind of anything she wants this week goes. So when she happened to mention, oh, Daddy, I could really go for stuffed mushrooms, then Mark's running down and buying all the stuff to make stuffed mushrooms. So I think
nice.
That's in our very near future. But yeah, so mushrooms was a theme for this weekend, it sounds like.
But so, yeah, it was it was fun. We had a great time.
Wow.
And the Women's Expo in Manchester was really fun.
Okay.
And, of course, we visited Celeste Oliva, too.
Nice.
I had to get my – I've been, like, dying to get my olive oil. And I showed Daryl the store. And, I got, like, so many different kinds.
Yeah.
You should see my counter.
Wow. Yes. You know, I was thinking that. And I think what Charlotte should probably encourage folks to do is take a picture – of your kitchen counter or wherever you start assembling your bottles. Because I started out with one bottle,
I think,
when I first wandered into the store. And yes, now I have a corner the counter that is all Celeste Oliva bottles. And I added one more to the collection last week, which was butternut squash seed oil or some. I may have kind of mangled the title of it. But oh my
I'm
goodness,
sure Charlotte's
the flavor.
Laughing right now.
I know she probably is, and she'll correct us. But nevertheless, whatever it's called, it was amazing. The taste was like warm and almost nutty, but not overpowering. It was just, it's one of those things that you want to find something to cook with it because you want
right.
to use it so badly.
All of her stuff is
yeah,
like that,
yes.
you know? Unbelievable. I bought a balsamic, and it was a Serrano. I think Serrano wildflower.
Really?
Oh, Serrano something.
All right.
Really good.
Very good.
Really, really good. So
nice.
I can't wait to find something to cook with that.
Yeah.
Too,
yeah,
know?
It is. It's, you try to build the dish around that one ingredient.
I know. So today's food quote.
Yes.
It's a cool one. Cuisine is only about making foods taste the way they are supposed to taste.
Interesting.
Right? Cuisine is only about making foods taste the way they are supposed to taste.
Okay.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Charlie Trotter,
huh.
whoever he is.
Okay.
I don't know who Charlie Trotter
yeah.
is.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I might have to debate him a little bit on that one, though, because you're always finding a new twist on a flavor.
True.
Right?
But he's saying
the
like
the art of it
cuisine,
is. Yeah. Okay.
It's about making foods taste.
Yeah. The way they're
the
supposed
way it's
to
supposed
taste.
To.
Okay. So, yeah, whatever
it's
you're aiming for, it should
yeah,
deliver that flavor.
In today's food holiday, there's two, and they're both I love both of these things. It's National Crab Meat Day.
Oh, nice. Right? Yes, National yes. Crab I'm all meat about Day. Crab meat. Yep.
And National Meatball Day.
Really?
Yum.
Okay.
Right?
Yes, I know. I love meatballs.
National Meatball Day.
Meatball.
Huh. Yeah, at the diner we make homemade meatballs.
You do.
Really good. Yeah, very, very good.
Do you like, when you're making your meatballs, do you like to do a different blend of a couple of different meats?
I do. We don't do that at the diner, but okay. when I make them at home, I definitely do. I'll use like that meatloaf mix.
Okay.
The meatloaf mix, it's like
it's like three different
blends.
Pork, beef, and is it ground turkey?
No, I don't think it's that. Oh, is it lamb? Maybe? Beef, pork, and lamb? Brown
pork
lamb?
And lamb? Maybe.
So,
but yeah, you can find the little trifecta there. And then I've made ground chicken meatballs.
Definitely.
That really tasted fantastic.
Very tasty.
Yeah. So it is. It's the same thing. You can get creative with what meats you're going to put in there. But yeah,
definitely.
There's nothing like the homemade meatballs.
And you know, they're so easy.
They are.
You
they're
know,
not
you
the
really
best.
Just use seasonings and, you know, some egg to, you know, to bind it and... Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit of panko breadcrumbs. I like the panko better.
Yes. I like panko for everything.
Me too.
It's just got so much more flavor.
It does.
And the crisp and the airiness.
Yes, it definitely does.
Good stuff.
So
it's funny. You know when when something on your body starts twitching and you can't control it, that involuntary twitch?
Mm-hmm.
My right eye.
Ooh.
I feel like George Costanza. I've got my right eye is just twitching. So as you and I are talking... It may look like I'm winking at you, but I'm not. There's no secret meaning or like, yeah, you said the wrong thing there. It's and there's nothing like the more you think about it, the more it feels like it's happening. This little eye twitch.
I did not notice. Now I'm going to notice.
Now you're going to stay. Yeah.
Now I'm going to notice.
On. It's probably some sort of a vitamin deficiency.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, it is. You are listening to Food for Thought. We're live at the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. And it is Healthy Monday.
Yay.
So we're going to go on a short break and we will be back in studio with Rocco from Integrity Health. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. I'm Jeannie Lester, along with Carol Lawrence, and we are so pleased to have Rocco Boulay in the studio with us. And Rocco, we kick off every week with Healthy Monday, and how are you doing?
I'm still healthy.
You're good. I'm sure that you are. And do you find that people watch you? Like, is there a certain amount of scrutiny that people pay to what you do, your coffee that you're drinking, and every time you go out or do anything, are you under the... spotlight.
Oh my goodness.
A little more.
It's terrible. I remember, I'm not much of a breakfast meat eater.
Yeah.
One particular morning, I would say maybe 8 or 9 years ago, I was in London at one of the little breakfast cafes, and I happened to have 2 pieces of bacon that morning. Well,
you heard about it.
That story turned into a stack of bacon about 6 feet high, and I mean, it was unbelievable.
I bet.
So yes, I'm always under scrutiny, but I don't compete anymore, so I don't live that obsessive competitor's life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the first 45 years of my life, it was very strict, and pretty much I weighed out my foods. I had very little bits of what I would call the pleasure stuff that I have today. I have a lot more of that, just so people out there know that I live like a normal human being now.
That is good to know.
But I do, you know, I use discretion with a lot of the foods that I do eat on a daily basis. And one of the things I want to talk about today is inflammation. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I was overhearing you guys talking about the honeybees thing. And do you guys know how honey is actually made?
Well, yeah, we had a beekeeper in here on Friday, and we got the whole spiel.
Oh, so they told you about how they use the, they get it from the nectar of the flower and then bring it back.
Oh, yeah.
You know that it's regurgitated many times?
Ooh.
They didn't tell you that, did they?
I don't think we got into those
didn't
details.
Tell us now.
Basically, what they're doing
is...
It's
still really good.
Yeah.
The bee takes the nectar from the flower, and it actually digests it, and then it regurgitates it back up several times in the honeycomb. Until they have an enzyme in their digestive system that breaks down the nectar into that sweet sugar that we like so much.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah. Who knew? I could have been okay not knowing that, but it is good to know. It's, I mean, it's all.
I want to show you a little
process.
Bit of the science
yes,
behind that.
So, are you trying to say that honey is off the list? Is that like not a good?
And we're going to talk about inflammation a little bit today. And one of the things that causes inflammation, believe it or not, is sugar. And honey still is a sugar.
But it's natural.
It doesn't matter. Okay. It's a combination of fructose and glucose that make up honey. And those are basically simple sugars. And simple mm-hmm. sugars in large amounts will create inflammation inside your body. Do you guys know what inflammation is?
I'm assuming it's just like a swelling. Or
yes, it's our body's natural response to, you know, especially like an acute inflammation, which would be, say, if you fell down and banged your knee up and then you'd have that initial swelling. Right. It is part of the healing process. But what happens with some of the foods that we consume is that once you eat these foods that have high sugars, trans fats, saturated fats, things of that nature, it creates a chronic inflammation inside the body. And this is where we start seeing people have, you know, then probably the number one killer in this country is cardiovascular disease. I don't know if you know that or not, but if you take a look at these people who are suffering from all of these cardiovascular issues, you find behind the scenes is what's lurking is inflammation.
Interesting.
I didn't know that.
Well, let me think of something else that I could tell you is that lots of these, the new research that's coming out is saying that even cholesterol levels aren't really that important, where you see people have been over the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years saying, lower your cholesterol. But the reality is that if you don't have inflammation inside your, especially in your cardiovascular system, those levels of cholesterol really don't mean that much, because that cholesterol can flow smoothly through your cardiovascular, your veins, your arteries, your capillaries and whatnot, that it doesn't get clogged up. It doesn't create these plaques when there's no inflammation.
Okay, so we're talking about inflammation in the heart and in the bloodstream and those systems.
And your digestive system and as well.
Okay, mm-hmm. So all those inner workings. Are there other places, like, you know, folks that are getting creaky knees or it just things kind of hurt and they're maybe chalking that up to, well, I'm getting older and thinking it's a natural process. Could that be actually linked to sugars and things like that?
100%.
Okay.
100%. People who, one of the things that you can do that will reduce inflammation is eating, you know, oily fishes or omega-3s.
Okay.
Those are great ways of reducing inflammation in your body. Green leafy vegetables, those also help. Eating grains that are 100% whole grain and not grains that have been multi-grain that makes it sound like it's good for you, when in essence it's more sugar-based than it is real 100% grain.
Yeah, and I've heard that before, and that does get very confusing as you're trying to do something that, because multigrain sounds like, oh, that's even better than whole grain, because there's a lot of grains in there, because we're thinking multigrain. But, and I had heard that argument that multigrain breads and things like that that you're buying actually probably even have more sugar than the other stuff that you were getting rid of.
They do, and it's a way of, you know, just like you can be kind of hoodwinked into believing that lots of other people, consumers, think the same things. They think that they're choosing, you know, remember years ago when we used to have those snack wells?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yes.
They
said,
well, they didn't have any fat in them because they were loaded with sugar.
Right. Yes.
So, you know, those ended up being pulled from the market. They don't have them anymore for that very reason. But people were in the belief at that time that, well, if you got rid of your saturated fat in your diet, then that would take care of some of the problems that we're having. Essentially, it made it worse. So, you know, we're still learning and we're still researching a lot of the stuff that's out there to make improvements in our food system. And it's taking some time, and that's just the way that it is. You know,
right.
Research moves forward.
So it sounds like, I mean, even if you're just looking at the aspect of inflammation, it sounds like going toward low carb is a much better choice. If you're really looking at two different,
there's all the components,
systems, Jeannie. Components, yes.
There's all the components, yes. That you have to have all together. and it is a certain variety throughout the day that you need to be consuming. Yeah. I know this very well.
You do.
My job is done here.
Yeah. It is. But, well, no, it's not done. It's an ongoing.
Two camps, and it's probably, I think the low-carb camp is much more popular. But when the average person is looking, okay, I need to drop some weight. I need to eat better. I'm going to diet. I'm going to, which I know is a bad word. But the average person is saying, okay, low-fat has been what was preached to us for, you know, the last 40 years. And now there's low carb. And people seem to, I think, separate their trains of thought into those two camps.
They do. But the reality is the food has changed. If we could get into my time machine right now, let's jump in for a second. Okay, Carol, get in this side. Jane, you get in the other side. All right, ready? We're going to go back.
I gotta buckle up.
Here we go. Let's set the dial to 1924. Okay, we're here, right?
Okay.
Wow. Okay, let's go out and eat.
Oh, look at the piano.
Yeah, I know. Beautiful grand piano here.
Because before food became, you know, getting processed, and, you know, the food industry has to figure out a way to keep it on the shelf longer, as you may know from, you know, any time that you have waste in your restaurants, that's money that falls out of the bottom line. So the food industries are trying to do the same thing. They have, in this country alone, 300 million people to feed, and to be able to do that so that it's affordable for everybody, they try to find ways to make foods last longer. Consequently, there are things that are done to the foods that create metabolic problems in the body. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason why you take a look at, you know, things like high fructose corn syrup and trans fats that kind of change the way the cellular or the cells in the body metabolize foods. And when that happens, then we start having problems with the cardiovascular disease and inflammation and diabetes and metabolic syndrome and things of that nature. Hypertension, all these things are interrelated with all out of those foods. But again, if we you know, shift back, you know, back in the 1930s, 1920s, that food that we had access to then was much healthier. You know, I was looking at a snapshot of something on Facebook last week that was showing Hampton Beach in the 1920s. And it was kind of, bathing suits were neat because they all went down to their ankles, and it was kind of these strange looking bathing suits. But I tried to, it was like, you know, when you ever play that game, Find Waldo?
Yes. Yeah.
It was like I was trying to play Find Waldo with the overweight person. There was no such thing. It's because they got out every day and they did some sort of a manual labor. It's probably during the industrial age. And Right. They ate foods that they got straight from the farm, and they hadn't been exposed to a lot of these, they process the foods, you know,
right.
Radiation, herbicides, pesticides, all of those things that they do to
all the
foods.
All the preservatives.
Yeah, all of that stuff. So that has to play a huge role, and it's, if you look back in history, you can see that.
And our lifestyle, though, today, I mean, just like you said, that's true about the food. But then also you think of the lifestyle then versus our lifestyle now. We've got everything in the touch of a finger. There's not much need or desire for people to get up and do things.
Well, yeah, we probably burn about 15 calories doing this show, right?
Right. On a really busy day.
No. I do squats in between.
I was talking about me, Carol.
Oh, okay.
But so, you know, and one of the, and there are all kinds of dramatic, you know, of course, there are reality shows about folks that are overweight as well. You know, My 600-pound Life is one that's on. And the doctor there is always prescribing for them. And of course, that's an extreme example, but he's saying low carb, low fat. So it's really a combination of those things. But to moderate your eating and look for things like you're talking about with no added preservatives, no extra sugars, and look for whole grains that are going to do something productive for your body is going to go a long way in not only filling you up, giving you that fiber, but also not weighing you down, really, with the sugar and the insulin response that's going to give you, correct?
Absolutely. And what you can do, and you folks out there listening, when next time you have a visit with your doctor, one of the tests that they can use to identify inflammation in your body, one is called a C-reactive protein test. Another one's called a homocysteine level test. Have your doctor check those levels out and make sure that they're in a good, healthy range, because if they're not, and you see that you're in a dangerous range, then you should do something immediately to reverse that inflammation inside your body.
So what were those called again?
C-reactive protein and homocysteine levels.
Very nice. That's interesting. All right. We need to go on a short break. You are listening to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and we are in studio with Rocco of Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. You can check them out on the web at integrityfit.com. And stay tuned. We'll be right back. It's Healthy Monday.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, and we are in studio with Rocco of Integrity Health Coaching Solutions. You can check him out on the web at integrityfit.com. And like I said, it's Healthy Monday, and we're talking about, we're getting scientific today.
It's very scientific. It's good.
I don't like that end of it. Notice I wasn't talking too much.
All the important
stuff.
Where's
that B?
I mean, I'm just getting my components down. Now we start to talk about, you know, all this.
No, we're going to get to
and then,
the,
then we have to get in
component.
A time machine and go back to 1925 and all this. I mean, really, this is not what I signed up for.
I'm sorry,
I'm
Carol.
I'm just kidding. I'm teasing. But my workouts have been going fantastic. But you know what happened? Oh, what?
No, I'm listening.
No, you were going to say something.
No, I wasn't. I was waiting. You said, you know what happened, and I turned to you to find out.
Well, because Michelle has joined as well. So, and this week our schedules, we did go together once, I think. And then she changed the time on me, so I said, well, I'm going in the morning. I already had that time. But anyway, so I had gone in the morning. She went in the afternoon. So that afternoon when she went on Thursday, she calls me back and she says, you know, I just did my first workout by herself. So she was all excited. And she says, so do you do the back and forth too, going, you know, doing your 2 minutes of cardio in between? I said, well, yeah. I said, of course I do. And she says, I said, I'm sure Rocco's probably watching us on the camera. I said, of course. Every time I'm sitting there with this one, the camera's like right on me. And I'm like.
Carol, trust me, I never look. I have better things to do. That's more for safety precaution than anything else.
I'm teasing you. But it's so funny because every time I sit in that chair, I look up and I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Does that propel you on to do a really good job with your workout?
That is my worst favorite. It's my worst machine. I don't like that machine. The one that you, is it the vertical lift?
Yeah, it's a shoulder press.
I don't. That's my worst one.
It is the worst one for every single female on the planet. Yes, because women have only.
That was just me.
Only 60% of the strength of upper body that men have, and that's the reason why you struggle.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I'm telling you, it is so hard. I barely can get to my.
Yeah, you could poll all the other girls inside the club, and you'd find it would be the same exact answer.
I did not know that. So going back to Michelle, she says, you know, back and forth. And she says, you know, I do she does her first set, she says, and then, you know, and I wait a little bit and then I do my next set. And I go, whoa, what do you mean your next set? You do two sets? She says, yeah. I go, I didn't know I was supposed to do two sets. I didn't know that. They did not tell me that. She says, well, it's on your paper. So when I went in Saturday morning. I was there Saturday morning. And so I get my paper out, and I'm like, mine doesn't say to do two. I'm like, what is this? So I got like halfway through my machines and, you know, doing my back and forth thing and this stupid elliptical. Don't like that one, Rocco. Do not like the elliptical. Do you like an elliptical?
I don't know.
You know, it's that one that you get on with your feet go like this, and then your arms are like this as your feet are going like that. Yeah. Oh, I can barely do 2 minutes. You should see me. That's not funny. And then you see these girls like next to you and they're like at it for like an hour.
Yes.
I'm like,
yes.
What the? And they're not even sweating. I'm like, I do barely 2 minutes and I'm like dying. You should see me. So halfway through, I kept looking at it and it really kept bugging me. And sure enough, I saw the two. I did not know
it
that.
It just appeared right off the paper.
It did appear off the paper. But, you know, because I'm trying, you know, I'm still getting used to the machines. And, now I got them pretty much down pat. So, you know, I'm looking across and I'm like, it is two times I'm supposed to be doing this. So then I went back to the other machines and I did my other set. And so I completed Saturday. I finally did.
Well, say you learned something.
I did learn something. But I'm like, I didn't know that. That was weird.
It could be because when you first started off, we don't make you go through two sets during the instruction process because it would take too long.
Right.
But we explained that there is a second set there, and maybe you were thinking about the Red Arrow. Who knows what you were thinking about? You know, you had a lot on your mind that just opened up in London.
And there, then yeah. The second week, I wasn't looking at the new weight. Oh my gosh.
Well, I mean, that's a perfect example. Now, can you imagine if you had just joined a fitness center and you didn't get anything?
Right.
Sure. How would a person be able to stay on track? I mean, we're giving you a plan and you're still fumbling through the plan till you get good. But that's true for most people. And that's the reason why you look, and 86% of people who join fitness centers, they end up not going. Because they get there and then nothing's happening. And again, if you're, as you notice that when you went to your next week, that everything changed in that program because.
And then the reps changed and, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute, what I just got this week down. Now I have to change it again.
So that's, you know, that's important that those things do change because in order for you to change, you have to change something.
Right.
And unfortunately, most people get caught up in with the best of intentions every year, and they get started on something, and then there's no plan, and then eventually, and that's what I like about, you know, working out where I go is because by, you know, the middle of February, the gym's free again.
It's free, no kidding, it must be. Oh my gosh.
No, but, you know, it's not the fitness center's fault, it's just that that's what that business model is about. For that price, that's all you can get.
Right.
So unless you can afford, you know, one-on-one training, you're going to end up probably failing like the other 86%.
Right.
And most of those are female because at least men, for the most part in gym classes early on, they were kind of taught some of those things where the women weren't taught that. So they even have a lesser an advantage for sticking with something because they just don't know what to do.
Right.
But anyways, getting to your the next component this week, we're going to talk a little bit about something that. So let me ask you this question. After your workout, do you stretch?
Of course I do. Oh, I go into the stretching
room.
Okay,
look at that. Very good.
Yes, I
do. Very good.
I'm
guilty of not stretching.
Oh, you?
Oh, yeah.
Some
days, like, I get so much on my plate, and I will avoid stretching, and it's not a good thing.
You know, to me, I always have done that. It feels good. It's like you need to stretch, you know? But no, I do. I go into the little room, and I go stretch. I do.
And it's great because in actuality, obviously, stretching is being, or flexibility is your full range of motion through your joints so that you can move this way, all the ways that your joints articulate. And that not only keeps you limber, but it also helps you in the recovery time because when you're done exercising, it's always good to stretch when your muscles are warm, not when they're cold. You see some people who stretch before they work out, that's really not indicated anymore. Basically, you want to do what's called an active movements before you start working out, and then stretching
your cardio
forward because your muscles are all filled up with blood and they're warm, so the plasticity or the stretchability of those muscles, tendons, and ligaments is there when you're warmer. So it's always better to stretch when you're warm.
Interesting. I mean, you know, I just feel so good when I, you know, when you get that workout done.
Yes.
It's like, oh. It's the feeling, you know, like you said, you just feel so good.
You're on
good.
Top of
and
the
when
world,
you're eating well and, you know, eating good and, you know, it all jives.
Yeah. So let me read over some of the benefits of stretching for anybody that's listening out there, that if you have back pain, you can decrease some of that back pain through the right stretching. You'll have faster muscle recovery after workouts. You'll increase circulation, which enhances healing and maintains your healthy, longer muscles. Increase range of motion that we spoke about just a few seconds ago. Relieve stress. This is a big one for a lot of people, that if they just take a few minutes to stretch.
I don't have stress.
No stress at all. And obviously it cultivates the mind-body connection, so it gets you to be in tune with your body. And, you know, feeling those areas that are tight and letting your mind work in conjunction with your muscles to relax some of those tight muscles and get you back on a healthy course for the next exercise bout.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how about that, Jeannie?
I love it. No, it's and like you said, it's just that whole connection too. Not only are you doing things that are going to help the way that your muscles move and function, but it does, it releases some of those chemicals that kind of are helping you to feel more centered, and you take everything else in stride. You sleep better at night. You just all of those things. You do have more energy. It's counterintuitive because you're expending this energy, so you think you're going to deplete it, and it's quite the opposite.
Correct? Right, and you one of the great benefits of doing yoga.
I have never tried yoga. I've never tried yoga. I think of yoga as, you have to be like so flexible, and you gotta, I guess I just kind of think of it as like twisty and turny, and I don't know. And then they have those hot yogas. You go in and it's like over 100 degrees in there.
Yeah, that's the Bikram. Bikram yoga. Yeah.
All I think of when I think of that is it must smell in there.
Yeah. I think it would just make me crankier. I mean, I don't do well in the heat anyway. You're going to try to get me to get in you? No, that's not.
That would actually
be a Bikram. Bikram. That's not Bikram.
I think it's an hour and a half, actually. Isn't Bikram an hour and a half?
I don't know the length.
I think it's an hour and a half.
A minute and a half where I'd be done.
Sitting there for an hour.
But you'd have to imagine they must have some, entry-level classes where people could go and get, acclimated to that type of an environment. It sounds like it would be beneficial for a lot of people, and it may, may not have the best ventilation, but if it does, I'm sure.
I'd get kicked out. I would just get so cranky. I get cranky when it's too hot. That wouldn't work. Yeah. I would be the anti.
I get cranky when it's too cold.
I just get cranky.
Let's all just get cranky. Yeah.
And that'll be the next section on hormones, right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. What did you say?
We will spend some time with the hormones. I think that'll be an interesting show as well. That may have to take a couple of shows.
Okay.
But one last thought maybe on flexibility, as we're talking about flexibility and also building up that core strength. When you think about, you hear so often of folks who are much older and they fall on ice or whatever is happening, and then they break a hip and they break a, whatever else. Isn't the building up your flexibility and keeping yourself flexible, as well as strengthening those core muscles that are going to help hold you up, isn't that going to help eliminate some of those tragic...
Well, it will definitely, I don't know if it'll eliminate it, but it will reduce those falls from occurring. Obviously, people who get older that don't move as often are very unstable. People who strength train, people who eat correctly, people who stretch regularly, have a better chance of having that not happen to them.
Right.
Or if they fall, it's probably not as significant.
Right. That would make sense.
Well, it sounds like our show's coming to an end. So I'd like to remind the people out there, between their thoughts and their actions lies their ability to choose. Why not choose to think healthy?
Love it. Rocco loves saying that.
I know, he does.
I'm getting good at it, aren't I?
Listen to me, so funny. Rocco, thank you again for a great, healthy Monday. It just plants those seeds, inside of my head, and it's great. I think it's going
thanks,
very
gals.
Well.
Thank you. Don't forget, it's okay to love yourselves, It's okay. We can do it.
You are listening to Food for Thought. It's the end of the first hour, and stay tuned. We'll be right back.